All right, everybody, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to welcome everybody back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here with the backup crew, Brother Angelo and Brother Manny. All right, everybody. Let's go ahead and we'll have one of you guys hold this microphone, and then you guys kind of hold it in the center between you.
Hello, hello, hello.
We're going to have the brethren back up. The brother, come on over here so the camera folks can see you from online. It's all right, guys. There you go in the background. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, guys. We're going to start a band. It's going to be called the Pinto Bean Crew with the Filipino Ponset here. Amen. All right, everybody. Our first hymnal that we're going to sing here is Song 15 in the Brown Hymnal. Revive Us Again. For those of you joining us online, you want to sing along, Revive Us Again on the Brown Hymnal, Song 15. Let's go ahead and get ready to sing to Jesus. Sing hymns and spiritual songs one to another. Amen. Song 461. All right. Amen. You guys are doing good. Oops, sorry about that. Oops, sorry about that. Amen. is Solid Rock 461.
Nor earth nor hell my soul can move. I rest upon unchanging love. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good singing.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Midst all the hell I feel within, on his completed work I lean. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest upon unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good singing on the fourth.
His oath is covenant, his blood supports me in the sinking flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On the fifth.
I trust his righteous character, his counsel, promise, and power. His honor and his name's at stake to save me from the burning.
Like, amen.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Hallelujah.
On the last.
When I shall launch in worlds unseen, oh, may I then be found in him. Trusting in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Good singing, church. Woo! Good singing. All right, friends, for our last hymn before we get to some announcements, song 695 in the Brown Hymn, song 695. Good singing. Good singing.
Leave it there.
Leave it there. For those of you who want to search it on your smartphone, if you have a burden, take it to Jesus and leave it there. That's what we want to sing about today. Leave it there. Let me go and get my cape away.
Leave it there, man. Leave all your burdens there.
Of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare. Just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Good singing.
If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save, he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer.
Amen!
He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
On the last.
When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. Good singing, church. Good singing. All right, let's go ahead and stand up and greet one another. Thank you for the backup, brethren. Amen. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and greet one another. Thank you for tuning online. We're greeting one another, so we greet you virtually. Hope you were here. Come on by in person. And we're going to get some announcements in about a minute. Oh, he sat down. He's not coming up. Maybe. Okay, he's coming up. Announcements, announcements.
All right. I want to thank y'all for everyone who's viewing online. Thank you for joining us here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. My name is Kwame. You can call me Brother Q if you like. As you know, for those who usually view us normally, just go from left to right on the tabs right here above to get you familiar with our page so you can kind of keep up with us if you can't join us here physically. All right, if you're new to the page, just like any calendar tab here, just tells you current, future, and past events here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. The two things I usually point out on this calendar here is how it changes from our regular schedule. All right, so we do have prayer service on every first Wednesday of the month, and we have the Lord's Supper on every last Sunday of the month. Just so you know, if you want to come here and visit, please keep that in mind. Other than that, our regular schedule is here on the front page here. You'll see every Sunday at 1 p.m. we go ahead and we have a Bible Sunday school. All right, and what we're doing is we're going through a book called Signs and Wonders by Brother James Knox. It just teaches us what the signs and wonders were for, keeping the scriptures in context, teaches us how to write and divide the Word of God. Amen. Awesome study. I learned a lot today. That was a blessing. All right, what we do is we take a 15-minute break. We have our Sunday service where we go ahead and worship God in spirit and in truth. We give a quick analysis by my right here by me, and then we go ahead and get straight into the Word of God. Amen. What's on my heart right now? As you know, the ones who are here, this is like my last. I mean, it's not my last time being here, but it's going to be. I'm not going to be in a fellowship as much, so it kind of sucks. You know, but I just thank God for everyone who's been here. You know, I'm a little bit emotional, but you know what? I mean, I just thank y'all, you know, for being here and just, you know, just being here by my side through it all. But I will try to make it here as much as I can just to keep in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So just keep me in prayer. And, yeah, just keep me in prayer, y'all. All right. So, again, Sunday service, we go from 1:45 to 3 p.m. And Wednesdays, like I stated, we have a Bible study. Every first Wednesday, we have that prayer. And then every other Wednesday, we have the study. Friday nights, we have our Friday night discipleship class. We're going through two books here. One called Understanding the Scriptures, Write and Divide by Brother James Knox. Teaches us how to write and divide the Word of God. Very important. God tells us to do so. And one book, Write and Divide It, by Brother Andrew Ray and Douglas Stauffer. Also forwarded by James Knox, teaches us how to rightly divide the Word of God. Awesome study, a lot to learn there, so please join us there every Friday at 7. And then moving right along, our beliefs, we are simply Bible believers. We believe God's Word inspired and preserved as He said it. And we try our best to be in submission and to obey it, which is most important, amen. Our church team here is just myself and Brother Carlos up here, but there are plenty of church team here that you can meet if you come visit. But these two we want to make available, myself and Carlos, if you want to reach us via email or phone so we can meet any needs you may have. And this prayer tab here is the most important tab because God tells us to pray without ceasing, pray for one another. I need to pray more. I need prayer. I know we all need prayer. One way you can do that is on this page here. If you can't visit us here, you can go ahead and submit online. You just follow the instructions right here. You can give a praise report to what you want to. Let someone know what God is doing in your life to encourage another brother or sister. You can do that here. Submit, and then we'll go ahead and approve it, and it'll be public. If you don't want it public, let us know. We'll know about it, but it won't be on a public page. Amen. All right, so current and future ministries, I kind of already went over. The one I do want to point out is the Soul Winning Saturdays. Most important because God tells us to preach the gospel, and it's important because there are people on their way to hell. The wrath of God is on the heads of people just like it was on our heads when we were enemies of God before we got saved. So it's very important that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just do it together as a body on Saturdays. It's an awesome time. It's also good to just be alongside of your brothers and sisters and be able to serve alongside of your brothers and sisters on Saturdays. So please join us Saturdays at 2 p.m. And, man, it's a blessing. You just got to be there. You got to be there. Do what the Lord calls you to do. You know, you say you love God. Show Him you love Him. And people are on their way to hell. So please make sure you're preaching the gospel. However you want to do that, whether it's at work or whether it's among your friends. But we just do it together here as a church on Saturdays at 2 p.m. So if you want to join us, please contact us. So you guys will be a blessing just to be there with us. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and go to the live stream tab here. We are currently on Facebook. We have Facebook Live. We also have YouTube. And podcasts, all right? And please, it's better to fellowship. God tells us to not to forsake the gathering of believers. But if for some reason you can't gather, go ahead and get you some good, some good, solid hearing of the Word of God, right, and divide it. But again, you have to gather because it's the only way you can exercise your spiritual gifts and to be able to have charity amongst your brothers and sisters. So don't use live stream as a cop-out. Keep continue to gather, and so you can be a blessing to someone else. Amen. All right, so last two tabs here is the Bible study tab and the online giving tab. So for the Bible study tab, we want to make as many brothers as we know and we have studied out. We want to put them on here so they can be a blessing to you to add to your faith knowledge. You want to continue to grow in the knowledge of God. You want to desire the sincere milk of the Word so you can grow like the Word of God says. And we do that by us preaching and teaching and just allowing you to have access, easy access to other teachers and preachers here. So please utilize this tab here. As you know, me and my favorite brother James Knox, you know, I'm a little respected person. Forgive me for that. I just love his reverence. I'm just kidding. I just love the reverence he has for the Word of God. Amen. All right, last tab here is the online giving tab. Whatever you purpose in your heart as unto the Lord is between you and him, you know. But again, all funds do go towards the ministry. It goes towards, you know, the flyers we give when we're out there soul winning, the Jesus Save Search. Any way we can reach people who are on their way to hell for Christ. So if you would like to give, that would be awesome. Just go ahead and follow the instructions here. And that's between you and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But again, though, I just thank God for everyone here. I know I'm a little emotional today, so it's a little bit different with my announcements. But I just want to say, just get ready for the Word of God. And I just want to go ahead and pray. Also, Father in heaven, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity to be along fellow brothers and sisters here. And I just thank God. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, I have them and them teaching us to have charity amongst one another, God. I thank you for all the charity that I've received here. Help me to show that same charity once I go to 29 Palms, God. God, you know all our needs before we even ask, God. I want to pray for everyone here, God, that we continue to remain faithful, God. I pray that you bless us to all have to continue to have charity amongst one another, God, that there be no, you know, no division in the church, God, but that there be charity and like-mindedness, God. And I pray that continues in this church, Father. I pray that you give the hearers ears to hear your word, and bless Brother Carlos to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Give a hand of praise to Brother Kwame. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Amen. Yeah, it's been quite a journey these past couple of days. For those of you who know, Brother Kwame's family's moving, and we sure are going to miss him. Friday, we helped him pack all their stuff and went on a road trip, a 6-hour round trip. So 2.5 plus to get up there, 2.5 plus to get back. 4 crashes, cars turn on their side, people on the curb. Crazy. We got up there late last night at 29 Palms, Friday night, I should say, and had a good time, good memories, good food, and came back, got back at 2 in the morning next day, finished the moving, and it's been a blessing. And I want to encourage you guys with one scripture before we continue. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. If we go back there, we talked about this last time in our Friday night, Wednesday night prayer. But the Bible says in 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's what charity is all about. It's not just the profession to know Bible, the profession to be a Christian, the profession to know doctrine. It's about administering what we believe in and act. So if I say, Brother Kwame, I love you, but I don't do nothing for him and act, my charity is not profiting him or nobody else. So when we as Christians say we love each other or we believe in this and that, but we don't back it up with action, it's not going to profit. So it was a blessing. We got back down. It was a good journey. But again, in deed and truth. And that's been my goal since we befriended each other in ministry with not just him, but anybody that I meet, is to teach. It's all about charity. It's all about charity. It's all about following through with acts of love and service to our fellow Christian brethren, to meet them in times of need and times of good. So yes, we are going to miss Brother Q tonight. Are we still, no, or what's going on for dinner tonight, though? So maybe. So the Sunday night, again, we just want to invite you, if you want to come back here at 6 o'clock or usual 6:30, we're going to have a dinner for one last time for the Kedleys. It's going to be a blessing. Just come and have some good time as we bless them out on their way out. His wife is flying out tomorrow, and then he's driving back up there. And so, yes, we're sure going to miss him. So hopefully he'll come back soon because I need my security guard. Brother Manny, he can hold it down. Brother Angelo, he's the one working out. All right, so we're good. We have enough manpower combined. We need like 3 to make 1 Kwame. Brother Nick's moving too, so we're going to miss that guy. All right, guys. So with that said, let's go ahead and get back in our Bible study. Book of Romans, chapter number 12. I'm very thankful to see you folks back here. I'm very thankful to see you folks that are watching us online, either on Facebook or YouTube. And my prayer is that you remain unto the end to get a full meal of the Bible. Amen. We just want to feed you God's word here today. So for those of you who have been with us in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans, this is going to be our part five of talking about verses 1-3. And the reason I'm focusing so much on these scripture verses is because, number one, not only is it the Word of God, it's supposed to be the authority over our lives, but number two, it's the proper presentation for Christian conduct to present our bodies to God. And if we can get a hold of this flesh, if we can get a hold of our human spirit, our lives will change. The habits will kick them. The lusts will get a hold on of them when we know much more about God's Word in regards to how we have to control the flesh and the spirit. And we've been talking about that last Sunday. For those of you who were with us, we went through a lot of scripture helping to define terms. The spirit, how does the Bible define your human spirit? How does the Bible define your soul? How does the Bible define your flesh? And we went through a lot of scripture to define that. Today, we're going to finish with the body, and then we'll move on in our verse-by-verse study. But in regards to that, today, again, like I said, as we continue through Bible, and the scriptures may bring conviction as it reminds us of who we used to be before we got saved, and for those of us after living a little bit of carnal living, of memories of sinful acts and habits done in times past. But just let the Bible do its work. Let it be sharp. Let it pierce even between the soul and spirit. Let it renew your mind. So again, no matter who you are, no matter what you've come from, no matter the skin color, the melanin shade, tall, white, let God work on your heart. Let him continue to renew it to be more like Christ. Whoever you were before you got saved, once you got saved, it's been forgiven. And after you got saved, it's been forgiven. But now we're going to be held accountable, and ultimately we will still have the consequences of our actions, but we no longer have to be the person we were 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 days ago, if we allow God's Word to work in our lives to continue to renew our mind, which is what we're going to read right now. So let's go ahead and read together. Romans chapter 12, verses 1-3. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Father, I thank you for today. I just pray, God, that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that you would remove me out of your way. Please meet with us, Lord. You are welcome at this church gathering. We honor your Bible, and these are your people. I just want to feed them your word. I pray your word continues to work on their hearts and on their minds. Help us to be more like you, Lord Jesus. Not like each other, not like a church image, but like you, Lord Jesus, as we see from the pages of your scripture. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, once again, the presentation the Spirit of God is beseeching us is to present our bodies to God holy, acceptable. So what does that tell me? First of all, there are certain things that God accepts and there are certain things that God does not accept regarding my life, regarding your life, what you do with your body. People can either be holy in his sight and people can be defiled in his sight. And it's up to us to study the book to figure out, how do I properly live for God? How do I properly present my body to God? How do I live in such a manner that God is going to say that is acceptable in my sight? And verse 2, as we progress on that direction to learn that, be not conformed to this world. Now remember, the world, as defined in your Bible, is the system of sin that's on the planet Earth. A lot of us have grown up by thinking that the world is also the geography, the actual planet of the Earth. But when you study your Bible, we're going to see right now, I'm going to show you a couple of verses, that the world is the system of sin on the Earth. It has to do with the lusts of your eyes, the lust of your flesh, the pride of life, and the world also denotes mankind on the earth. For example, John 3:16, many of you know it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He did not die for the planet. He did not die for the tides of the sea. He did not die for the volcanoes. He died for mankind, for souls. That's the world on the earth. So the Holy Spirit, as we listen to the Word of God, what is he saying there? As we present our bodies to God, the first step is holy. It's not like the world. Number two, acceptable unto God. It's not like the world. So whatever the world tells you how to live, that's not God's way of telling you how to live. This is why we are reading the book, to figure out how he defines that. And as we are, as we're heading in that direction, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I want to understand the will of God in my life according to the Bible, it starts with me working on me. It starts with me getting a hold of my body. It starts with me getting a hold of my mind to be in submission to the Word of God. I'm wrong. God's right. My feelings are not the Word of God. It doesn't dictate the Word of God. The Word of God dictates over me. So once I get those things a hold of, okay, now I can understand what's God's will for my life, because he said here, he said there in Scripture, and now I'm going to respond to that. So where we left off last week is, again, we were defining the difference between the spirit and the soul. Before I move forward, let's just give you a couple of refreshers, and then we'll get back to the body. Let's go ahead in our Bible train. For those of you who'd like to get on the Bible train with me, our first stop is the book of Proverbs. These are just some quick reminders here. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, and then we'll get to finishing up the body and acts from the body that God does not approve of, so that way we can learn together what he does approve of. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 29. The Bible says this, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Proverbs chapter number 25, the Bible says here in verse number 28, these are just quick reminders, that's all. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." And lastly, Proverbs chapter 29, in verse number 23, the Bible says here, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." So before we get a hold of the body, we know that we first of all need to get a hold of ourselves within the body. I need to get a hold of my spirit, my human spirit. My human spirit is the center of the feelings. Again, that's my perspective. We talked about the soul and the spirit, how they both have lusts. But those lusts is what is the battle within me, within you, and that's what we need to get a hold of as we present ourselves to God. The next place I'd like to take you is to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Let's go there together. 1 Peter chapter 1, and our next Bible stop. It's the soul of man that will die as we get there. That is, either it's going to live forever in hell or forever in heaven, because that is the real you within the body. We talked about that. But that's also the part of us that gets saved when we do respond to the gospel in faith. It's the soul that is redeemed by the Holy Spirit of God that helps us and seals us and regenerates us here. And I'll show you in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. These are just reminder verses where we left off. "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Do you see that? So when I respond to the gospel in faith, according to the Bible, my soul gets saved. And last week I showed you from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, that the spirit returns back to God. And so I'm left with one thing, and that's the body. And we'll get there together. We're just reminding ourselves of these definitions. I want to show you one place here while we're in the book of Peter in this neighborhood. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. What about these lusts, and where do they originate from? And as these lusts battle my soul, and my soul is being fought over by these lusts, how does that affect my body? And ultimately, how do I end up doing what I did physically? Where does it all start from? I'm going to show you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." How about that? So not only do I have to get a hold of my spirit, I got to get a hold of this body. But the spirit is the origin of the feelings, again, that's what I think, but somehow, some way that influences my body. And then my body is going to end up desiring certain things that's against God's Holy Spirit living inside of me. So the Bible tells me that those lusts, they war against my soul. And I am supposed to be fighting against those lusts, or I will end up committing the lust, which will end up being a sin against God, and ultimately, it's not going to affect anybody else around me, God forbid, but really, it's just going to affect me. Now, I know that there are certain actions that we do that affect others around us. Don't get me wrong, I understand that murder takes a man's life or a woman's life. I understand that kidnapping affects a family, and I know that our sinful choices can have an impact on others, but ultimately, you're warring against yourself, and God is telling us to get a hold of self. If we get a hold of self, we will end up winning these battles over the flesh. So just know, these lusts, they war against our soul, and we need to get a hold of that. Now let's go back here to discussion over the body. Let's go back here to the book of 1 John chapter number 2. I want to define for you from the Bible how the Word of God defines the world. Because we don't want to be conformed to the world, right? We want to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We want to be able to present our bodies holy and acceptable to God. But I first need to understand, well, how does he define the world? So that way, with my spirit, I'm able to understand and comprehend, okay, that's not of God, this is. That's not of God, this is. And these are going to be the fundamentals to help you to do that. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start reading from verses 14 through 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. All right, here's what God says. Oh, let's start here in verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now before we say, whoa, brother, I thought that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You're right. No contradiction. Look at it again. The things that are in the world. You see that? God said there are things in this world that are not of him. And those things that are in this world are the things that are the battle within me. And I need to get a hold of that. And let's see how he defines it. Verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three fundamental definitions that God helps us to understand how to discern between what is of his spirit and what is of the world. If my flesh or my spirit is enticed or influenced by the lust of my body, the lust of my eyes, or the pride within my heart, God said, that is not for me, that is of you, that's of the devil, that's of the world. I don't want you to conform to that because I'm not going to accept it. So when I hear people say, oh, I believe in God, I believe in God. We're out there in the streets preaching. Oh, I'm spiritual. I just have a relationship with God. And they're living in sin. They're living in fornication. Or they're getting high. They're drinking booze. And they're doing all those things contrary to what God says is of me. It tells me very, very clearly who their God is or who of the gods are influencing them. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? The Bible tells you and I that there is a God of this world. And his name is Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4. You and I were once children of disobedience. We already showed you all the scriptures, Ephesians 2. And we all used to walk fulfilling the desires and the lusts of the mind, Colossians chapter 3. We were all being influenced by a God. And that God's primary source to get people to do what he wants is what makes you feel good. What does your flesh say about it? Does it make you feel good? Does it satisfy the sensations? That's the world. That's the world's system of sin that we as Christians need to battle with. You see, before I started to learn more Bible, I used to think, well, if it feels good, do it. How many of you? Well, if you feel peace about it, brother, it must be God. You ever hear that silly doctrine? No. Wrong. What does the Bible say about it? Now that I know what the Bible says about it, now I know doing certain things with that girl is not acceptable. Drinking is not acceptable. Having divisions amongst the Christians and having all these prides within Christian doctrine, not acceptable because that's against charity, 1 Corinthians 13. We talked about that today in the Sunday school. There are certain things that the Bible defines for you, but like I said, before you can discern the will of God. Your mind needs to be renewed. And the only way that your mind will be renewed is if you are going to let the Word of God be the rule of law over your soul. So the three fundamentals, those are the lusts. And what do they operate off of? Sin within what? My body. That's how I can discern the difference between the Spirit of God trying to tell me to do something and my human spirit, or, like I said, the devil, etc., etc. Let me show you three places from the Old Testament in regards to this. Jeremiah chapter number 48. I'm sorry, let's go there first. The book of Jeremiah chapter number 48, and consider this. Jeremiah 48, verse number 29. The good thing about the Bible is it's all inspired of God, it's preserved, and it's profitable for doctrine. So we go to so many verses in the Scriptures, regardless if it's in the Old or New Testament, because they're profitable to learn. So look at here, Jeremiah 48, verse 29. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. Pride comes from the heart of man. You see, the pride of life, that's your heart. The Bible says that's a thing of this world, not of God. Selfishness, self-gratification, everything that's self, 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 me, 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 that is not of God, that's of you. You and I both need to get a hold of it. Second, Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter number 21. The Bible defines for us here in verse number 4. Well, as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and read verses 2 through 4, all right? Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So, before you call the friend for advice, you know, notice the friend that you call is the friend that's going to tell you exactly what you want to hear because it goes with your agenda. The friend you don't want to call is the Christian friend that's going to tell you the truth from the book. The preacher, the pastor, you don't really want to surround yourself with those people because they're going to tell you that you're wrong and God's right because we're all in this together. You see, at our church, nobody is higher than the other. Nobody is more spiritual than the other. We're all at the feet of the cross. But God does have an order in the church, and I'm here to serve in this position to tell you and to feed you God's word. But you can keep me accountable by saying, Brother Carlos, I heard what you said, or I see the way you're living. That's not right in God's sight because, and I'm going to say, you know what, you're right. I thought it was okay because I felt, notice, I, feelings, feeling, feelings. It's right in your own eyes. All of us by default. It's okay to me. Well, what does the Bible say? Keep reading. The Lord pondereth the hearts. Verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Where did I just read about something that has to be acceptable in God's sight? Romans 12, 2 and 3. If you want to find out what's acceptable to God, you got to learn more of God's word. He said to do justice and judgment is more acceptable. So what does that tell me? There are certain things that are acceptable and certain things that are not in God's eyes. Verse 4. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Ooh, there you go. Proud. Are you a proud brother? Are you a proud sister? You know what God said? That's a sin. It's not acceptable in my sight. And if you remember from Isaiah chapter 14, talking about Satan in that language, he was proud. He wanted to be like the Most High. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. Satan's fall was due to his pride. And again, that's the system of sin that operates on the earth. That third fundamental definition in 1 John 2, the pride of life, get a hold of your pride. If you want to present yourself acceptable to God, get a hold of this heart and say, God, first of all, when I wake up, I don't deserve anything. Let me get back to the servant position. It's not about me or how people look to me or treat me. Lord, I was a sinner on my way to hell. You saved me by your grace. You died for me on that cross. You poured out your blood. I was on my way to a burning lake, but you were willing to die on that cross for me. So Lord, who am I to deserve anything? One of the problems in our nation of the United States is your rights. Your voice matters. It's all about you, you, you. It's all about God, according to the book. Not about me. And if I can get my heart right, the Lord will honor that. We need to go to hold of this pride. James chapter 4. Sorry, I said 3 verses, 2 and then 1 from the New. James, the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter, go down here to verse number 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So what does God accept? A humble heart. What does God accept? A humble spirit. Who does God reject? The proud. Who are they? Not me. There you go. That's how you know who it is. Whoever you say, it's not me, God, I'm not proud. You know, that's pretty much your proud, brother, sister. So get a hold of that heart. So now that we define that, let's finish off talking about things that can be done in the body that are not acceptable to God and how we need to get a hold of that and why that is a big deal. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And it was so ironic today that we had an awesome lady come by our church, fellow saved member. Before anybody got here, this was earlier today, Brother Manny introduced her. And I'll just leave her anonymous, but the point is this. She just had this thought about how Christians are not really to judge, she said. And she says that she went to some other church, I don't know where, and how the preacher was condemning homosexuality, like just harping on it. And she says, because I just feel like Jesus taught nothing but love, and we're not really supposed to judge. And Brother Manny's right there in the first pew. There's my wife right there. I had two choices. I could have agreed with her to make her feel welcome, because we're not going to judge too. Or I could say, wait a second, God's going to judge me one day. Not that woman. Let me tell her the truth and let the Bible do its job. And if she gets offended and walks out them doors, she's going to have to answer to Jesus for that, not me. So I said, sister, I love you. Let me tell you the truth. The Bible says we are to judge. 1 Corinthians, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Judgment amongst Christians is the order that God has placed over the New Testament church, and I'm going to show you right here. And at the end, I didn't tell her in a mean tone. I wasn't yelling at her, that's why, blah, 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 blah. I just said it from the way I speak, and those of you who know, the Bible says, God said here, God said there, and she said, oh, I didn't know that. Now she said, okay, well, if that's what the Bible says, then now you're right. We have to judge sin in the church. And I said, there you go. Now you're thinking biblically. 1 Corinthians 5. What was going on here in the church at Corinth? A lot of things that happen in your local church sometimes. For those of you watching online from other places, many of you have already faced it here. Pride, divisions, offenses in the flesh. These were Christians in Corinth that were sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with spiritual gifts, and yet they were still living in some carnal ways, sinful ways that were not acceptable to God, but they were saved. Remember how we talked about that, the old man and the new woman. Here's the report, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So what did Paul say? I am hearing of a report that in your church there are Christians fornicating with each other, that's having sex outside of marriage, but you guys are doing stuff that not even the Gentiles do out there, the unbelievers, that one of you is having sexual relations with the father's wife. That's a bad sin. Would you agree? And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Oh, Paul, that doesn't sound so loving. I thought we're just supposed to accept people where they're at and just let them come on to church and try our best to love them through it. No, absolutely not. Why? Because that sinful act, remember, the deed, being accepted in your church will influence others to continue to live in a life of sin that is not acceptable to God. What did he already tell us in Colossians 3? For this reason, the wrath of God is on the children of disobedience. When you did those things, God is angry at humans because of their sin, and one of those types of sin is right there, fornication, and he is going to judge it. And that's why he's telling you to get a hold of it. Verse 3, for I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have, say it with me, church, judged already. You know what Paul said? I'm not there. I'm writing you this letter, but I've already judged it. It's not acceptable to God. Here's what I want you to do. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. But I thought we're not supposed to judge. You are. If you didn't think so, there's two reasons why. Number one, you didn't know enough Bible, and that's okay. Now you're learning. Number two, you were going to a church or listening to Christian media that were not telling you the truth because they want to please your flesh. The least offense that you can feel means more money in their pockets. I would rather offend you right now while you're in the body than for you to have to stand before God Almighty and try to excuse your way out of why you were living like this and all that, because he is going to tell us later, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's going to be a thing for you to stand before God. And that's why I tell everybody, it's like, look, whether I tell you with a smile or, oh, I'm preaching on the streets, we're presenting to you the truth because we care about your soul that you're going to have to talk to God about one day. So if it offends you in the flesh, get over the flesh, because it's the feelings. It's not the truth. Get a hold of your life to get right with God so that way he can accept you on that judgment and say, I was proud of you, son. I was proud of you, rather, rather than living in sin. Let's keep going down here. Verse number 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, colon. Notice that in your King James Bible. Don't forget the thought. Whenever you see I forgot the English terminology, but these little inserts, semicolon, colons, just know that the thought continues. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. What did he say there? He's not telling us as Christians that we can't hang out with the unbelievers. You know, those unbelievers that still live in sin because they don't know any better. They don't know Jesus. They're not saved. They don't have the Spirit of God. They cannot discern anything spiritually. They need to be saved. He didn't tell us, don't try to win them. Don't try to accompany them to the dinner date to try to share with them the gospel. But now, verse 11, I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. Whew. Sounds like we have to judge. What do we have to judge? Each other by what? The book. If I want to present my body to God and I want to be in right standing with God and the church, I cannot be living in a life of sin like fornication, a covetous person, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner. I can't be living out those deeds because biblically I cannot be a part of that fellowship. The leaders of that church are going to have to call me out for my sin. And if I don't repent, you know what they're going to do? Boot me out. Oh, but that doesn't feel good, Brother Carlos. Are you sure we're supposed to be nice and loving him? You're right. Jesus is just going to smile at them on the judgment seat and say, that's okay, you just keep sinning. That's okay, you can be a drunkard or a railer. No, he's a holy God. Paul said, take that guy out and give him over to Satan so the flesh can be destroyed. The body, the sensations, the feelings, God does not want you to operate off of, because that's not his spirit. That's not according with the truth. If somebody is involved and engaged right now in this habitual state, the Lord said they're not supposed to even be in this congregational fellowship. Not even supposed to eat with them. Who? The brethren. They call themselves a Christian. If they come and they say, brother, you know, I've been struggling, as they say, I'm going to say, okay, so what's going on? We'll minister with them. We'll do our best. If they show a sign of repentance, okay, praise the Lord, you're working on it. We're talking about these brothers when you're going to present them the truth or the sister, and they refuse to repent. They refuse those people. We're not talking about folks that are working on it. You understand what we're saying? It's like they're slowly but surely getting better. I get that. But it's people that are straight up saying, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing that. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Without, simply, King James Bible word for outside. What do we have to do to judge the unbeliever? Those that are not Christians. That's not my position. That's God. But you know what your position is? To judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. There it is. Verse 13. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Whew. So what does that look like? I call myself a Christian. I go to a Christian church. But, you know, nobody really knows on the background. I'm still committing this type of sin. I'm still committing that type of sin. And then somehow, some way, my sin finds me out and it's exposed. And the pastor or the leaders, they come to me because if they're being biblical, they're going to say, brother, the Bible says here, you say you're saved. You've been coming here. You need to repent. Or you know what the book says. We're going to have to kick you out. I have two choices. I can either say, you know what? Let me get a hold of my spirit, Proverbs. Let me humble my spirit, Proverbs, because he resists the proud. Lord, I'm sorry. I know I need to stop this. I know it's wrong, God. Would you please help me? He will help you. But if I choose the second option, forget you guys. Who are you to judge me? Oh, yeah, God is okay with it because it makes me feel good. And all right, the leaders are going to boot you out. I'm giving you a hypothetical so you can know that that's the way that the biblical instructs Christian churches on how to operate. Now, we're a small congregation. We have enough time to get to know you and to love you and to be there for you. Again, we're nobody's perfect. But I want you to think with me for a second. For all of our mega church brethren that go to these big old churches, one pastor, a couple elders, they say, do they really know the spiritual state of their flock? Do they really know how each Christian member is living? They should. They should know. Why? Because we have to judge within. Got to make sure that we're living faithful and we're living holy. Now, if you've been rebuked before, you've been reproved, and you responded with godly sorrow, Brother Manny preaches it, it's going to have fruit. The Corinthians, by the time you get to 2 Corinth, some of them got right. Praise the Lord. That brother seems to have repented. Bring him back into the fold. You'll read that. So, yes, you're still going to sin against God because you have a flesh. We talked about that. But you can repent, and you can walk in the strength of the Spirit of God to give you power over that so you can be in right standing with God and with the church. Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6. Go down with me to verse number 13. The Bible says here, meats for the belly, belly for the meats. I like that first half. I don't like the second half, but look at what it says. God shall destroy both it and them. There you go. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So before people try to justify to you or to me why they've been living with their partner for so many years and we're in love and it's accepted, not with God. Sorry. We're not here to please your flesh. We're here to please God, and we care about your soul. That's what we care about, is your soul. Get right with God. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? So, once I become a born-again Christian, Jesus Christ purchases my body. It's his now. He purchases my soul. It's his now. What has he already redeemed? My soul, the Spirit of God. We saw that 1 Peter 1. He comes in me. I become a born-again man, born-again woman, for those of you who are women. But the thing that he hasn't gotten a hold of is the body yet. We'll talk about that, the rapture. He's going to glorify the body, Romans 8:23. But until then, he's given you the power to get a hold of this body. But it belongs to him. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Many of us have come from a background of drugs. Many of us have committed fornication in times past, adultery, drinking, alcohol, etc. You know what the Bible says? The one sin that's going to affect you mentally and physically is sexual sin. That's what he said right there. Those other things, those habits, they're not really going to affect your body as much as the physical act of fornication. You say, why? I don't know. God has specially created your body and that act for one person. And when you constantly give yourself over to that mentally, it's going to have some psychological effects on you. Perhaps. I'm trying my best to help you understand. There's a study that I heard from a pastor, and he talked about these things called mirror neurons in the brain, mirror neurons. And every time the act of sex happens from our physical body, we create and bridge within our brain memories. Memories are fused, mirror neurons. And he was talking about that's why statistically when men watch pornography while they're married or et cetera, committing adultery, divorce rates are skyrocketing because as the brain is trying to bond with the woman, the mind is all over the place while the body is right there because the neurons are trying to fuse the images. I don't know. But you know what? The safest bet is this. Keep your body for God until you get married, and you're not going to have to worry about all that. And for those of us from times past, how can I get over my memories from my times past? The Word of God. What does it say? It'll renew the mind. It'll renew the mind. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. What was the price? The blood of Jesus. What did he do? He died on that cross so we could purchase my soul, my body, my everything. What's already redeemed? My soul. 1 Peter 1. What's not redeemed? My flesh. One day he will. But who has to have power over this until then? Me. Who gave me the power? God. Spirit of God. He gave me a book, the Bible. He gave me a supernatural power, Spirit of God in me. He gave me Christian fellowship to help me. I got a lot of help. I got a lot of support. Ultimately now, there ain't no more excuses. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now look at verse 19 quickly. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Remember how we said the temple is also another term for the body, synonymous? It's where he dwells in. So now, Bible with Bible, the Holy Spirit comes inside of my body. He seals me. He saves my soul. The Holy Spirit lives in this body with me after I became a Christian. So now I just want you to think about it. The more that I started to learn about Scripture, the more I started learning more about God's Word, and that's what changed my life. The fornication, repented of, the drinking, repented of, smoking marijuana, repented of. Why? God's Spirit dwells within me. I didn't know that. I didn't biblically discern that. I didn't biblically comprehend those truths. But once I started to, because a preacher was giving me the truth, man, how can I do this against God anymore? His Spirit is in me. How can I keep grieving him? Lord, I'm sorry. And praise the Lord, I've been free from a lot of things that I used to do. What's stopping you today, friend? I don't know. Perhaps it's a lack of Bible knowledge. Perhaps it's a lack of love for God. That's what it was for me. So I'm just encouraging you with what helped me. More Bible knowledge in my life. And as I learned more, my love responded back to him to say, man, God, I don't want to do this against you anymore. You don't deserve that. You deserve all of me. And then you'll start living better in those areas. You understand? Before we close and we conclude about the body, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, how do I want to do this? Let's go to Galatians and then back to 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 6. Let's turn there quickly with me. Galatians chapter number 6. A lot of us like to cook. Anybody like to cook? Anybody? Anybody like to eat? Anybody out here? I like to eat. When I make a meal, I get that taste because of the ingredients that I put in that meal. I made rice this morning before church. I put in my tomato sauce, my bouillon, my garlic, my onion. That thing tasted good because of the ingredients I put in there. The output is based upon the input. What you put in you and your body, what you allow to come into your spirit will be the output of your life. If you have a filthy mouth with profanity, it's most likely because of what you put in there over all those years. If you have a lust of eyes and you battle with pornography or you know those type of sins, it's because of over the years the lust that you've allowed to come in there. Whatever goes in is what's going to come out. Look at what Galatians 6, verse number 7 and 8 say. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If you want to get over the habits that you battle with in your body to be able to present it to God holy, you need to stop sowing into your body all that garbage, all that sin. You need to cut off the people that are being influences in your life, cut off the alcohol, whatever it is that you're battling with. I'm just giving you generals, you understand? The relationship, cut it off. Whatever it is, because ultimately, who are you deceiving? Yourself. You're not mocking God. You're not fooling God with the way you're living secretly behind the doors. Don't be surprised why your life doesn't change. It's because you haven't cut that thing off with what you sow. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Bible's good. It's getting super quiet in here. Come on, guys. Bible's good. Whew. Let that book do its job. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at what the Bible says. Verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let the church cleanse your life from all these. No, that's not what it says, right? Let the pastor get into your life and help him. No, that's not what it says. Let me read it one more time. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Old man, new man. The new man was born again when I asked Christ to save me. The Holy Spirit is in my soul. He sealed me. He saved me. He's never leaving. But I got the old man. And I got that spirit in me. Here's all the lusts of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Here's all the sinful habits that I've had over the years of just being a human, living on this earth, and you doing whatever you do. I don't know, but whatever I did. Now that I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm spirit-filled, I can have power over the old man. I have the ability now to cleanse myself from that filthiness of the porn, the alcohol, the fornication, the sexual immorality. All those things, I have the power to cleanse myself now because I have the Spirit of God in me. Whose responsibility is it to do that? You. My responsibility. Over who? Myself. Before I can help you, I need to first get a hold of my life. I can't just stop smoking dope last night and start thinking I can go to a class teaching AA and start telling folks how to get over alcohol because I just stopped last night. That's not how it works. I've had so many Christians, raise my hand, I just stopped smoking, I just stopped, man, let me help you now. No. You need time. You need to mature so you're not easily enticed like the person you're trying to help is. This perfecting holiness and the fear of God is maturity. It's progression of maturity over time. It takes time to learn and to grow out of those habits. Once you get a hold of that thing in your life, then you're biblically able to help somebody else out. If you have a filthy mouth, you cannot expect to teach people how to stop cursing. If you have a problem with people and your social life and all those type of things in the workplace, do not be a hypocrite by trying to tell people how to help, you know, themselves while you still haven't helped yourself. You got to practice what you preach. I think you've heard that before. Amen. And that's something that I had to work on. And now that I have, praise the Lord, I'm standing before you here today. So what I want to leave you with, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans, the 12th chapter. If we leave the Bible alone, let it do its job, it'll do its job within our life. Verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, because he told me in 1 Corinthians, he bought it with a price. It's his. Flee fornication. Make sure you're keeping it for his purposes. Number 2, holy, acceptable unto God. We just learn how to do that. Not the world, not the flesh, not the feelings, by what God says is acceptable in his sight, which is reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Before we close, I want to leave you with a couple of notes here. That ye may prove. Did you see that? That ye may prove. To prove something is to ascertain. It's to try. It's to validate, or it's to verify something. In order to prove what's acceptable to God or what's needed prior to that, I need to renew my mind. In order for me to prove what God says is okay and what God says is not okay, I need to first, within my mind, humbly admit that His word is right and my feelings are wrong. My feelings do not dictate truth, God's word does. When Christians accept the Bible as the rule of law, that's when change occurs within their lives. The habits and all the deeds, it'll change. Notice verse 2, the Bible says the will of God. You've probably heard it before, but I'll remind you, the will of God is mentioned 23 times in 23 verses in your King James Bible. The first mention of it is in Mark chapter 3, 35. I thought I'd just show you this just for reference. Just look up to the projector. You don't have to go there. I'll show you quickly. First time, will of God is mentioned just like it is. That phrase, exactly, will of God, is in Mark 3, 35. And look at who's talking. None other than the Lord Himself. He said, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother." Talk about personal recognition. Talk about personal acknowledgement. You want Jesus to acknowledge you? You need to do the will of God. And I just showed you how you can do that as a Christian so He can acknowledge you. That's a pretty good thought there. First mention there. We get an explicit statement of a will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, "For this is the will of God." You say like an explicit statement, like this is what it is. "Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Well, look at that. What is the will of God for my life? Get a hold of your body. Stop having sex out of marriage. All spiritual prophets, such and such, tell me what the will of God is. Stop having sex outside of marriage. How about that? But notice the context. Look at quickly verse 1. "Furthermore, therein we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God." Notice, take it into its context. What do I need to follow? The apostles' example. What is that? Where is that found, or where is that laid out? The scriptures, the New Testament, that's where I'm going to find the commandments, and I'm going to be able to understand that will of God. Verse 4, "that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God," and so on and so forth. Notice, the will of God, specifically, explicitly, right there in 1 Thessalonians 4, get a hold of your body. The vessel. I just thought that was amazing. And how it all ties back to Romans and chapter number 12. So lastly, in Romans 12, just to conclude with that thought, be not conformed to this world. Okay, got that so far. I understand now, Lord, how you define that. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Okay, so far, God, we understand how to get a hold of our human spirit, get a hold of these thoughts. That I may prove, so I can discern and know what God's will is for my life. Verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, we're going to transition into the service. I'm going to take all now what I've gained about God, the knowledge, get a hold of my body, get a hold of me, so now I can know how to properly serve you and how to properly love you. And how to properly conduct myself as a Christian in practice. The next couple of chapters in Romans is really about the practice, the practicality of our faith amongst other Christians. So that we had five parts on just learning what the Bible taught on those things, and it was quite interesting to see and to learn. And so with that said, we're just going to go ahead and conclude in prayer here. Amen. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and pray right now. Father, we thank you for this Bible. I thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Christians here today, Lord, that are willing to come to hear the truth. And I'm thankful for hearts, Lord, that are willing to do what is acceptable in your sight, and that is to believe your Bible, and that is to live in such a way that is pleasing to you. So, Lord, for any Christian here today, Lord, that's visiting in-house or watching online, that's struggling with sin, that's having those battles, that war against his or her soul, Lord, would you please help them from the Word of God on how to get a hold of that? Lord, would you please have mercy, Lord? Give them patience. Help them to grow in understanding how to get over those things. Surround them with Christians that will come along their life to help them, to strengthen them, to be accountable with them to you, to help them to overcome those things within the body. And to other Christians who are doing right, having power over their vessel, having power over their body, Lord, would you please bless them to be a blessing to others, Lord, as we're going to get ready for the practice of that faith later on this chapter of Romans. Would you help them now to continue in that grace? Help them to continue in that faith and in that obedience so they could be a blessing and an encouragement to others. Lord, thank you that you died for all of our sins. Thank you that we're all forgiven. Help us now to live a life that's equal to how you view us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, Lord bless you. We see you back here at 6:30. And for those of you online, thank you for tuning in. For those of you in-house, thank you for visiting. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. God bless you.